welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
It's very easy, isn't it, to see somebody standing up here and kind of think, oh, they're a bit, a bit special, if you like. They're a bit different. They're not the same as me. And what I really want to emphasise with Nigel, he's just another Christian. You know? Okay, he's a well-educated Christian. He's obviously an intelligent guy with a job he's got. But the call is on all of us. All right? Regardless of our background, regardless of our education, regardless of who we are, God will birth the passion in you to see others come to know Jesus. Right? This is the day, this is the hour where God is stirring his church. We've got something that we know about that is absolutely amazing. All right, this is life-changing. Some of you have been Christians so long, you've forgotten what it's like to take out the joy and to take out the peace and to take out the strength and to take out the comfort and not have it. That you think you're the same as the person living next to you who doesn't know Jesus. You are not, let me assure you. You get into their lives and you'll find that you have something amazing. All right? This morning, I want to go backwards a little bit into what we were doing before things like Easter intervened. And we had a morning of drama, we had a morning of cinema, and we're back into sort of a more traditional me talking morning this morning. Don't you dare groan. But I want to review where we were. So if you've not been with us before that, the great thing is I'm going to draw some of the key points out of what we were doing, so you can catch up with everybody. So whether you've heard anything I've said before or nothing, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to catch you up right now. Because this, I'm really excited about the time we're in. You know, for 2013, the word that's been coming from the Lord all along is of harvest. All right, is of the presence of God being with us in such a way that you cannot escape the fact that God is present. I mean, how many people, you just want to experience God, you know? You can put a hand up, it's allowed. Yeah. I want to experience God. I don't just want to know God from the Word, I want to know God from the Word. That's the essentials of Bible study and the way of the Spirit. But I also need to be experiencing God in my life in such a way that I get God on others. Sometimes the church gets a little bit scared that if we spend time with everybody else, you know, we might get all that nasty stuff on us. You stick a candle in a room, it doesn't get darker because it's a dark room. It just makes the room brighter. Even if it's only a tiny candle and the room's full, if you like, of darkness, the candle will still be seen. We have a light in us that's not just a candle. It's glorious. It's magnificent. You know, it's not that song. You know, there's still a light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Now, some of you will know that if you've been Christians a while. It's not a little light that you're going to let shine. It's a massive, glorious power watt thing that's going boom, boom. It's more like the lighthouse in the Harbour Bay than a tiny little candle. This massive light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. The only good thing in that song is the decision, I'm going to let it shine. Because there's the very reality that you can stick a pot over the top of it, big pot, mind you, and just sort of walk around undercover. So, where we were looking at before everything else happened was the fact that we're church. Do you remember? We looked particularly at a phrase that Jesus used when he said, I will build my church. 2013 is a year of God, of Jesus, building his church. It means encouraging us. It means building us up. It means making us stronger. It means equipping us. But it also means the much more literal meaning of more people. All right. Now, more people is very important because Jesus is good. If we've got something good, it's a moral obligation upon us to try and let as many people know that it's good. Otherwise, how selfish are we? And sometimes we can feel like, well, we're not good enough for that yet. Listen, you're good enough. You've been chosen by Jesus. You don't get better than that. Ron gave a great illustration on Thursday night when he was speaking here. And he took a £10 note, a very crisp one that he'd just printed from his pocket. And he was showing it to everybody and said, how much is this worth? I thought he was going to do one of those talks, you know, does anybody want it? Because I was going to grab it immediately, but he didn't do that one. He said, how much is this worth? And of course, being an intelligent bunch of people, we can see a one and a zero on the front, so we said £12. No, £10. And he said, OK, so if I scrunch it all up like this, and it's now all messy rather than my nicely printed one, how much is it worth now? It's £10. It's still got worth. If he jumps up and down on it and he swirls around on it and, you know, apart from putting it through the shredder, how much is it still worth? £10. And it's that with us. Jesus has chosen you. You are worth it. You are amazing. And you may have been through stuff or you may have had stuff happen to you, but you are still amazing. You are still worth an awful lot more than £10. And you may have just been printed, you may be a brand new Christian, or you may be that you aren't even in the printing press yet. You're still waiting to become a Christian, or you've been a Christian years, but let me tell you that the Word of God says you are precious and honoured in His sight. Amen. All right, what we went through at Easter was the whole thing that God loved the world so much that He was prepared to pay the price of surrendering His own Son. And if you were here on Palm Sunday, there was that very powerful film of the father having to, an ordinary human father, having to make a decision whether to save a trainload of people or whether to lose, which would cost him his son, or whether to choose the other way around. It was powerful, wasn't it? That's what God did. He made a choice. Very powerful choice. So we're church. And Jesus says, I will build my church. And the word church, because we're all Greek scholars now, is ekklesia, which means to be out called, literally, or called out. The called out people. What are you called out of? You're called out of doing something in your own way. You're called out of a mundane, ordinary, boring lifestyle. You're called out from the ordinary to the extraordinary. You're called out of the natural to the supernatural. You're called out of a life that just says, I just need to do the best I can, to a life that says, I will enable you to be the best you are. All right? It means to be called by God. Each one of you has a call. You may not be a Christian yet, but there's still a call coming from God. The word means to be called by name. You're not part of this church by an accident if you're already part of this church. You were called by name because you have something unique that only you can give to this congregation. All right, there should be nobody here who ever feels like, I don't know what to do. There's nothing really I can be part of. Oh, yeah, there is. There's loads that you can be part of. It does involve work. The first church that Kate and I started was called Elohim Church. It's in Leicestershire. And as part of the vision, it used the verse from Haggai that says, be bold, be strong, and work. Because you don't accomplish anything without work. There is a call, this call to glory, this call to see God moving does involve work. But it's the work that gives satisfaction. I mean, the work that we're called to do is to believe God. But if you believe God, then you do something. You don't believe God and sit at home and do nothing because you don't really believe Him. When you believe God, you get in on the adventure. So we looked at when Jesus said, I will build my called out ones, He was talking about how I will encourage them and I will cause them to grow. Yep. You with me on that one? You all reminded if you weren't there? You all astounded if you were? No, it's the other way around. So ekklesia. A shepherd calling his flock is used of, or it's also used as a word of authority and command, or an invitation to a banquet. And in God, they're all true. I really like that. You'll have to excuse me for a minute. I'm so thirsty. Must be all the sunshine outside. Oh, hallelujah. So that was a key verse, Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church. We've had it since the beginning of the year. Another key one that came along was one that Jimmy texted me. And God just keeps bringing me back to it. Acts 9, verse 31. We're not going to go through it all again, but let's just draw some highlights, because we need to be into God's word to enable the Spirit to flow. His word is like food. If you don't get food, you get weak, don't you? And eventually you die. It's the same as a Christian. If you don't get the word of God going into your life, you get weaker and weaker and weaker. Ecclesia, the called out people. Then the church, the ecclesia, the called out people, the chosen ones, if you like, throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria, enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, or multiplied, living in the fear of the Lord. Now, I love the word in there that's enjoyed. It loses some of the meaning from the original word in the English. I mean, I like the thing that they're enjoying the peace. But what you lose a little bit is the idea of that you take hold of it. You say, yeah, that's mine. The church weren't just going around saying, oh man, it's so peaceful. I'm loving the peace. You know? We know that wasn't happening because the church was multiplying and growing. So they weren't just, oh, it's so wonderful today, the peace. You know? There was something else going on. They were taking hold of what God had given them, which was peace. But even the word peace loses the fullness, if you remember, in being translated into English, because the peace, the Greek word is Irene, from which you get the name Irene, the English name Irene. But it talks of peace being like a complete stability to you. So it means your health being restored. It means your wealth being restored. It means your family being restored. It's all about restoration, being repaired, being healed. So it's an amazing word. So when it just says they were enjoying a time of peace, it meant they were taking hold of the promises of God to see them fulfilled in their lives. Because you can be given some great Christmas presents, can't you? But if you don't unwrap them and leave them on the shelf, apart from something pretty to look at, they're not going to do anything that the giver intended you. All right, so if you get a brilliant new iPad for Christmas, and you think, what a beautifully wrapped box, and you leave it there on the shelf, it's never going to have the benefit that the giver intended you to have, that you could use that for your Bible study, your Twitter, your Facebook, your whatever you wanted, your emails and all that kind of stuff. They thought, this will be really good. This will be a tool that I will put in their hands. You're not getting one. That they can use. And you get it. Oh, that's wonderful. And then you go and read all about iPads. You know, you buy a book on iPads from W.H. Smith. And you read all about how brilliant they are, because you know it's an iPad inside. And you think, wow, I've got one of them. That's amazing. But if you never use it, you may as well not read the book. And we can do that a lot as Christians. We can read about all the gifts that God has given, all the promises that God has given, and we can read books about all the promises. We can praise God for all the wonderful gifts that he's given us, and still we just leave them on the shelf. And he intended for them to be tools, to bless us and bless others. And they're a lot better than iPads. And you don't hear me say that very often. Sorry, a bit of an in-joke if it's your first time here. I've been known as a bit of an Apple fanatic. I'm not really. I've only got an iPhone 4S, not a 5, so I can't be too mad. Next one, though. They enjoyed a time of peace. And in Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. And it means exactly the thing that when Jesus appeared to the disciples just after Easter and said shalom, it was enjoy health, enjoy peace, receive from me. The kingdom of heaven being manifest here on the earth. When Jesus was doing ministry, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. It's right in front of you. It's for you to take. Why am I going through all this again? Because we really need to live this. We really need to grab hold of this and say, oh, wow, that's actually true. This really does. I can unwrap the presents. And the very key one that we're looking at, particularly, is how God has spoken to us and we've experienced the presence of God resting upon us, which is the peace, which is the Irene, which is the shalom. okay? And not preaching anything complicated at all this morning, just some very simple pieces of truth that we need to underline and keep. You know, write down these verses and study them for yourselves and just see what God speaks to you. The Matthew 16, verse 18, this one. Acts 9, verse 31. And because they did this, took hold of the promises of God, they were strengthened, they were encouraged, they were emboldened. And because that was happening, they grew in numbers. God didn't wave a heavenly magic wand and suddenly the church grew. It was the church taking hold of what God had given that enabled the church to grow. This church won't grow just because we come here on a Sunday. It will only grow, and it needs to grow because we need to see the glory going to God and all those lives being affected. When we, as the people of God, are taking hold of the promises and saying, hey, my £10 note may have been crumpled or it may not have been, but I'm worth it. And I've got a message that's definitely worth it. And I need to look for every way that I can communicate that to others. You know, we can get kind of, embarrassed that we're Christians. You know, we think people aren't interested. Let me tell you, people are interested. There's such a vast misunderstanding of the true gospel and true church and true God out there, that if people seem disinterested, it's because they don't really know what he's like. They missed it. When we've done the coffee and tea handing out, you know, after midnight here on a Saturday to the club going crowd, you can't stop. You don't have to start the conversations. You cannot stop talking about Jesus and about God and about church, because they've got an opportunity to ask you. And they've had a drink, so they've loosened up a little bit, so they're not feeling inhibited, so they're going to ask any question they like. And you realise that even people that appear disinterested are really very interested. They're just not interested in religion, generally speaking. They're not interested in a set of rules and regulations. They're not interested, really, even if it's the truth or not. They want to know if it works, by and large. Is that something that works? Then obviously you want to know whether it's true or not at some point, but they want to know if it works. I'm not interested in investigating that. My life is busy. Now, this is something that works, because it does. So that's why the church grew. Right, I've got two more verses that I just want to share with you that I think are key that we haven't looked at before, because we're moving on from the theme of being called out to the theme of earthing the glory of God or hosting the presence of God. Okay, so we've looked at being called out. We've just reviewed that. That understanding of we're called, we're chosen, we have a message to declare, if you like. Now we have something to hold on to, something to host, the peace, the presence of God. Psalm 27, verse 4, if you're making notes of the verses, which is a good plan to do because you can go away and you can study them. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. It's a lovely verse. It's a beautiful verse. It's a verse that's absolutely key for what God is doing now. Because as we talk about going out, we also have to talk about coming in. Because our strength is of going out can only come from our relationship with God and each other. Sometimes people forget the each other. Sometimes people forget God. It's everything. We need relationship with each other. We need relationship with him. And out of that, we have something that is worth speaking about. And this is key. This is an attitude to have. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. The word bayith, which is the Hebrew word there used of house, it literally means the place where the family is found. Isn't that a nice word? The place where God and his family dwells. One thing I've asked of the Lord is that I may dwell with the family of God. Sometimes we forget what a wonderful bunch of people we are amongst. Yeah, sure, we annoy one another at times and we get irritated with one another and, you know, and you can take offence because somebody said that. And we know we shouldn't do all these things and we know that, but we're also real people sometimes and sometimes things just annoy us. You know, I just don't like the way they do that. Then you realise you've got to repent and get right, and God put that person there to reveal it in you. It's not them, it's you. But, you know, that's all just the adventure and the story of being together as a family. But look at that verse. One thing. And sometimes it gets so spiritualised, the idea of I'm going to be with the Lord, but actually it says to be in the house of God, to be with God's family. Don't forget, I said relationship with God is totally important. If you haven't got the one-to-one, if you're not spending the time with him again, you're going to struggle. But here, the writer of the psalm is emphasizing, I just want to be in God's house. I just want to be with God's family. And I look around this room. I don't know everybody here today, because some of you, it's your first time or you're with friends and family. But the ones I know, I can say, they're awesome. They're a great bunch. You know? Sometimes some of them annoy me. Kate, Ron, Chris, Chris, Joanne, Adrian. But that's my issue. You know, it's always because God's showing something in me. It's not them. My wife's enthusiastically agreeing with that point. The word Bethel, which is the word you probably know, some of you, means house of God, has got that word Baith incorporated in it. So even the house, the word used, Bethel, for the house of God, means has got that, the family of God, sort of within it. So this time's like Sunday times, Thursday night times, Sunday night times. You know, they are family times. And that doesn't just mean children. It means the people of God. Sunday Night Live starts again next week. It's not on this week. As I've mentioned it, I'll just throw that in there in case anybody thinks, yeah, I'm going to come tonight. I've never been to that. Don't. You'll be very lonely and the door will be locked. It's had a 2-week break. But starts again next week. Very different to Sunday morning. Very different. The Lord, I will say, I may dwell in God's family place all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, which is the word used is Jehovah or Yahweh, and to meditate, and the word means to seek, to consider, to investigate in his temple. Okay, I want to be with God's family in his temple. And the word temple is hekel. And it means a spacious building, the place of God's presence, a place to worship him. So the psalmist is writing here, one thing I'm asking, Lord, I want to be with the family in a spacious place meeting with you. And that's what Sundays is about. That's what Thursdays is about. That's what some of our life teams together are about. The spacious place is not the physical building for us. It's the place of freedom that God puts us in. Church is very good at taking God's freedom and putting in all these little rules and regulations that everybody has to follow and turning it back into a religion. It's a spacious place. There's a freedom to try different things and to experiment, to be artistic, to be creative, to be an awesome scientist, to be a great businesswoman. The freedom is there. It's a spacious place of completely different personalities coming together, of people coming together that love it when it's rocked up worship. You know, there's the people that come that would just prefer to be on their faces in silence. But when the family comes together, it's a melding and a mixture of everything that we are. You know, it isn't always just how we would like it, but that's what it's like with family. You have to do something that's great for the family, and even more important, for those who are to become family. You know, and I said to the worship team this morning, and I say to them regularly, you know, one of the reasons I say to you, you know, get right with God, put a smile on your face and get right in there. Because you're the first message that people are going to hear. You know, when they let Jesus out, you start to enjoy what's happening. You know, you say, oh, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. You know, and it starts to, because it's going to be read. But it's not just them. It's this lot. You know, we don't, there's a sense in which, okay, Peter heads up our host team. But we're the host team. The whole church. We're all here to welcome people. I hope if you're new today, somebody said hello. Otherwise, I've just fallen on my face. But, you know, being a welcoming place is so important because God is a welcoming God. We're here to welcome people from every kind of possible background, every different culture, every kind of sexuality, wherever they come from, whatever they're into, even if it's something that God wouldn't encourage them into, they're still welcome to come here to be with the family. I'm really encouraged that you all applauded at that. Because so often the church says, no, you can't come. You haven't got that right yet. No, we don't want you here. You believe in a different God. No, you like candles and stuff. No, no, no. Yeah? No, you're divorced. No, you're in a relationship with somebody of the same sex as you. The church has got to be open. And it's a challenge. Yeah, that's great. And there may be, with many of those, there will be a loving call from God to change, but it's not for us to point a finger. The other verse. It's Psalm 122, verse 1, because I could get stuck in that verse, that bit forever. And we're going to go back to it, actually. Very, very simple verse as well. But this is, I think these two, if we get these, boom, in our lives and in the lives of others. The next one is this. This is a good verse. If every church member in Great Britain got hold of this verse, the nation would be transformed. Even though it's an inward-looking verse on one level, it couldn't remain inward-looking because of the attitude and the excitement that would happen. This is the verse. Are you ready? Psalm 122, verse 1. I rejoiced with those who said to me, rejoiced. It means full of joy. It means full of happiness. It means being glad. It means, yes, I'm going. All right. It's the same. It's a similar context to the wise men when they had the opportunity to encounter Jesus, and the wise men were jumping up and down with excitement. They weren't these sort of super solemn guys. If they had crowns, they were having trouble holding on to them because it was time to meet with Jesus. And it says this is the same kind of thing. I rejoiced with those who said to me, I was excited. I couldn't wait. Let's go to the house, the Bayith, the family of God. Let's go to the house of the Lord. It's like, yeah, come on. You know, Sundays, I hope and I pray, if it isn't already, it's the best day of the week for you. Because we have an opportunity to get together with a family. You know, and we're so blessed in that God given us this building that you can stay here all day if you want to stay with a family, you know. There's this part, but then afterwards, there's people playing foosball, there's the table tennis comes out, there's the pool, there's the air hockey, there's the computer games. That's church too. Oh, and the coffee. That's church too. When the youth club are filling this place on a Friday night and there's, you know, there's about 40 of them that now come in on the list and stuff. That's church too. It looks a bit different to this. And so most of them don't know what it is to know Jesus yet, but there's a gathering. Yeah. Little Builders is church. It's just different. Messy church is a popular word for church with family. Can't think why. Little family. But yeah, Little Builders is messy church. It's just all kinds of people coming. We were working out the numbers of people coming through this building in the week, and we're into hundreds now. And most of them don't know Jesus yet. This is exciting. Yes. Hallelujah. Not because we want to thrust Jesus down their face, but throats, but we do want to share something with them that can change their lives. Yes. And if they're not interested, we still carry on loving them. We don't love them to get them saved. We just love people. Yeah, otherwise your love is becoming manipulative. Well, I'll love you if you're going to come to get to know Jesus. If you aren't interested in coming to get to know Jesus anymore, I'm not going to love you. What kind of love is that? It's certainly not God's love. God doesn't stop loving anyone, whatever they're doing, whatever they're into. God so loved the world. It doesn't say God so loved the world except the ones doing this. It doesn't mean he approves of everything they do, but he doesn't ever stop loving. But that means God never stops loving you. And then that sudden freedom. I've done this. I feel like this. I have these feelings. I have these emotions. I've had this done to me. God still loves you. But I really blew it. God still loves you. But I really messed it up. Good. He's the restoration man. He is the ultimate in restoration. He doesn't stop loving you. Hallelujah. That's a good message there and then. But I like this. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's rejoice that it's Sunday. Come on, let's go up to the house of the Lord together. Let's go up to the Bayith, the family of God's gathering together. Whew. And when we're really rejoicing about it, sometimes the enemy starts to sneak in. Oh, I feel a bit tired. I need some time off. I've been working hard to this week. I'm not feeling that great. I mean, I'm not talking about you burst out all in spots and you're being sick every 5 minutes and you've gone bright green. But you know those times when we're feeling a bit under the weather, I'll just stay at home. That's the opposite of where we should be. Where's the peace, the irene, the health that you need? It's with the family. Receiving from God, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Are you getting something out of this morning? Are you getting a little picture of the passion and the heart that God has for where we are now? But not just for us, but for people who have yet to come to know Him. Hallelujah. One thing I have asked of the Lord. That was the other verse. Remember that? What is your one thing? Because the one thing is the reference point for all that occurs in your life. It's the baseline. It's easy for the one thing to become career or job or wife or children. Good things, not bad things. But it means that the one thing is where all issues are referred to. Everything, all the decisions that you make, the way you live your life, comes from the one thing. The one thing here is the presence of God with the family. And that's why God is talking about the one thing that he really wants to emphasize with us is the presence of God resting with us. Are you with me for a few more minutes? The one thing is being with the family and hosting the presence. Not only are we a host team to everybody who's coming as a guest or friends and family, we're here to host God. You say, well, that's a little odd way to put it. I mean, to host God is both exciting and a little bit fear-inducing. Because how many of you know Narnia? The stories of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. Oh, come on, you're going to have to put hands up here, because that was like two people, and I'm sure there's more. Thank you very much. Right. Otherwise, I've got to do a lot more explaining, so it's worth putting your hand up, even if you have no idea. Aslan, the one thing that C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia stories, brings out is that he's both terrifying and wonderful. He's both powerful and gentle. He's Aslan of Narnia. He's the king of everything. And yet he can be Lucy, the little girl's personal friend. Yeah? He's overwhelmingly good, awe-inspiring, yet frighteningly wonderful. This is Jesus, obviously. Aslan the lion. He's royal, a king of all kings, but completely full of humility. He's the Lord of lords, and yet he's willing to hang out with the lowest of the low. And he's totally perfect, yet he embraces all of us with all our imperfections. I'm not talking about the position God has made us, I'm talking about the way we live it out. God has placed us in perfection. We don't always live up to that, though. Well, maybe you do. If you think you do, you just failed. I've just started reading one of Bill Johnson's books, Hosting the Presence, and in that he talks about the idea of this odd sort of thing of hosting God, you know, when God owns everything and owns me anyway. And he says, well, it's like, he's speaking from his personal experience, if you like, no, not experience, his personal perspective. He says, if I rent a house to you that I own, he still, as Bill Johnson, wouldn't just walk into your house. Even though it's his house, you have charge of it. You have stewardship of it. All right, we have stewardship and charge of our lives and church and everything we do. God is not just going to walk into it. He waits for us to host his presence. All right? He said, Bill puts it this way. He says, I'm not going to just walk into your kitchen and empty the fridge. You know, he's not going to whip out your Delia Smith or your Jamie Oliver and whip up a fantastic salad for lunch out of all your food. I don't know if they have Jamie Oliver and Delia Smith so much in America, but, you know, he's not going to do it because Bill Johnson is not a rude man. Well, God's like that too. Most of the time. There are exceptions. Because sometimes he just has to get in there and open your fridge and say, come on, what's that in there? No. Why? Because even though it's his house, you have been given charge and stewardship. It's a good little picture. We need to host the presence of God. I think this is the generation that will host God, because it's a generation that's hosting God for the return of the King. Amen. It's time for Jesus to come back, but we need to make sure the bride's ready. And we need to be ready by hosting God's presence. I want to mention these little things here that I've got on my desk as I come to an end of the word. Little cards. Actually, I'll step back in the light so you can see them. It says on the front, it's very simple. It says, you're invited. It doesn't tell you what church is like particularly. There's some pictures that tell you what church is like. It's sort of life, energy. It does say great music, great friends, great coffee, great God. And gives the time. These are invitations for Sunday mornings on this side. And Joss is going to be using them with his team. You remember, he's going to have guys who are interested in working with him. They're going to go out for half hour or so just before morning church on a Sunday and just invite people off the streets. They might come that morning, they might come another morning, but it's just an opportunity. Now, it's his thing of inviting people is not quite what God's going to do, because God's going to hijack the people inviting people, because God loves miracles on the streets. So get ready, because you'll be leading people to Jesus and seeing healings happening out there, and then they'll think, maybe I will come. All right? That's going to happen. But also, then on the back of these cards, it's got some more information just about some of the key things that are useful to give out. So it talks about can't make Sunday morning, Sunday night live, and Thursdays. It talks a little bit about Little Builders. The hub lunch times and the hub on a Saturday night. Don't forget, 12 till 3, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays every week. It's just open. I delight to go up to the house of the Lord and be with the family of God and have a cup of coffee. It doesn't just mean on our faces. And also talks about the youth club that's running here Friday night. So you've got that, all right, as a tool now. There's loads, 10,000 of these. All right, so you can take as many as you want. We're going to do one thing as well as what Joss is using them. We're going to use them obviously on Wednesday with the Bethel team, but that's just a little aside. We also want to get them into the homes of the people where we live. All right? Scarborough, Hummamby, Filey, these areas. And we could pay the post office to put them through the door with letters. But how much better would it be if it's put through by somebody who's hosting the presence of God? And I know it takes time, but what I want to invite you to do, and when I say you, I mean everyone, and the children can be involved in this too, is to say, I'll do my street and I'll do two or three streets around me. You just got to put it through the door. Some of you might want to knock on doors, but you can just put it through the door. I'm just going to put it through the doors of my streets because most of them I've talked to them before about this kind of thing, so I'm just going to put it through the door. All right, it's just, and it just says you're invited. You can use them personally, but we also want to cover every house in the town. If we run out, which we will do if we get to do every one, we'll just get a bunch more. All right? So the way we're going to do it is Brian Ward, who's in Scotland this weekend, is going to coordinate it, but Ron is stepping in for him today and is going to work with him anyway. So if you'd like to take them even this morning, I've got one box lot over here. No, I haven't. It's gone. It's under the chair. You might not have done anything like this before, but it's a pretty easy thing to do, really, just putting cards through people's doors. Why do we do it? It's our delight. I rejoice to go up to the house of the Lord. Who are we to deny others that opportunity? This is a way we can do invite them. The past 6 months, we've been very blessed. The publicity in the local newspapers and around means a lot of people have heard of the building. So when they get an invitation to come to the building, it's a real incentive just to come and check it out. And we might not be for them, and that's fine. But it might just be that they find something here that they didn't even realize existed. So the practical way of doing this is to take a bunch. And then if you take them today, see Ron. Other times you can see Ron or Brian and Shona. And just say, I'm going to deliver cards on this street. And maybe this street, and this street, depending on how many you can get done. You haven't got to get them all done today. This could be spread out over the next couple of months. And then come back and let them know I've done it. All right, because we don't want streets that we think that have been done and not done. So that's all it is in terms of very, very easy. Take some cards. If you find you got too many, you can come back. If you didn't get enough, you can get some more another time. But and let Ron know, or Brian know, or Shona know, I'm going to do these streets. All right, if they find there's duplicate streets being done, then they'll let you know, oh, that's already done, or that's already been done. If we end up with a duplicate street done by accident, it's not a big issue. All right? It really isn't. It just means they get two through. Now, you might say, well, they'll probably just go into people's bins. But actually, there's people going to be putting these through the doors that have prayed over them.
Yes.
People got healed by Peter's shadow. People got healed by handkerchiefs being sent out. There's anointing on you, and you'll be putting it right into people's homes. It's just a card. It's just a card if you think it is, but if you put it through as a prayer. Hallelujah. So yeah, it'd be great if everyone could do a few. Or a lot. Wouldn't it be amazing if we got rid of them all really, really, really quick because everybody's so keen. Hiya. You're going to do it, are you, Sam? Yeah. He's going to leaflet thwing. He's done it. He's already done it. Sam, you're amazing.
Yes.
So thwing's done. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish there. Let's just all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Let's just stand quietly before God for a minute. And God's been with us all morning. He's been with us in the worship. He's been with us in the word. But let's just stand before him, being very conscious that the presence of God is falling in the room right now. like you're standing under a waterfall. But it's a waterfall of light. And it's just pouring on you right now. Just be ready to host. If the Holy Spirit brings anything to mind right now that you think, oh, that's wrong, I shouldn't have done that, this is a good time to just say, I'm sorry, Lord. You don't have to go into long prayers. Just say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. That's enough. You're turning from it. Repentance means to change your mind. Okay, now as we stand here, you probably find it helpful if you're able to have your eyes closed, save you from distractions. Just be very conscious of the glory being earthed on you. Some of you will start to feel the power of God washing over you. You might be a crisp £10 note, you might be a crumpled one. The presence, the peace, the glory, we're all talking about the same thing. Resting on you right now. Now, because the presence brings healing, it's the Irene, the peace of God. If anyone amongst us is not well this morning, particularly those in pain, but not exclusively, I'm going to ask you to raise a hand as high as you can, because I'm going to look around the room. If you need healing this morning, mentally or physically, just raise your hand really high. Okay, that's just a few. Right, put your hands down again, because I don't want to trap you into anything by accident. What I'm going to ask to happen in a minute is for those, if you're near someone who's got their hand in the air, I'm going to ask you to go and stand next to them. Now, you're not going to pray for them. You're not, oh Lord Jesus, if you could just release your healing if you're not too busy and you're not on a coffee break, just come and bring healing right now. We're not going to pray for them. I just want you to stand next to them. You can put your hands on their head. If they're happy for that, ask them. And just be the conduit which earthes the glory. And today I'm actually not going to get you to say anything, which you know is unusual for me. I just want you to experience the glory of going through, the glory of God going through you into that person. If God gives us some words in a minute, we'll do that. But we're just going to release. So this is for people. You need healing in your mind. Maybe you've been, it can be something very minor, like you've just been fearful and anxious, or it could be something major you don't need to say. Or physically, you're unwell. As the Lord's just telling me that somebody here, all week, you've been having a lot of pain in your stomach. You get like a sharp pain that goes from one side to the other. At times it's so sharp that if you were standing up, you'd almost feel like doubling over. And you've actually been quite worried about it. You don't know what it is. You haven't been to the doctor yet. That's okay. The Lord wants to heal you. So you're going to be one of the persons in a minute that puts your hand up so others can pray with you. Well, stand in the presence with you. As somebody else, you've got like a permanent irritation in your right eye. It's like almost like an itching behind your eye. It's very distracting. It's not 100% of the time, but it's a lot of the time. You just get this irritation in your eye. The Lord wants the presence to rest on you, to bring you the irene, the peace, the health, for that to be restored. Somebody else, I don't know what this is, except that there's a problem in your thigh, and it's to do with the bone. That's all I've got. The Lord's keeping the rest quiet, as far as I can tell. There's a problem in your leg, and it's to do with your thigh bone. I think you've probably got to have some kind of operation. Or you're afraid that you're going to have some kind of operation. Gives you pain. You need to put your hand up so that we can see the presence of God come on you. Okay, that's all the words I'm going to give for now. The healing is not exclusive to just the people I've mentioned, okay? It's to anybody. Mental, physical healing. And I'm going to ask you to put your hands up now, really high. And then the rest of us who've not got a hand up, if you open your eyes and just look for people around you and go and stand with them. Don't start praying yet or anything. Just go and stand with them. And then if you just put a hand on their shoulder so that they know you're there for them. And if you're going to be prayed, if you're waiting for healing, once you've got people around you, you can put your hand down and then we'll know that everybody has got someone. That's great. Can't see any hands up. If there is anybody, just wave a little bit more frantically. That's brilliant. Okay. Right, let's stand with them and let's just ask the peace to fall again. And you're just standing with them. You're, as I say, you're like conduit, earthing the glory of God in that person's life. People around the room, many of you who are praying or being prayed for, you're going to start feeling heat in the areas that need sorting, if you like. You're going to feel the heat coming right now. That heat is the power of God. Now, pain is dissolving. Troubled minds. Shalom. Peace. If anyone being prayed for is on medication, even if you feel the symptoms have gone, make sure you get it checked out medically. As Jesus told people to return to the priests, the authorities of his day, you should never take decisions with medication without medical advice. It's not lack of faith, it's honouring God with the world that we live, by the way the world that we live in works. Of course, if you're continuing to take medication and it starts to make you ill because you're cured, then get to a doctor quick. Okay, now those who've been prayed for, can anybody who is experiencing the presence of God, who's being prayed for, could you raise a hand again? All right, you felt something in your body, whether it's heat or just the presence, raise a hand. Okay, so that's good. That's encouraging the people around you because they can see something's happening. You can put your hands down again. We'll be finishing in just a couple of minutes for those of you that are keen to move on, but we're just letting these people receive what they need from the Lord. Pain dissolved in Jesus' name. Irritated eye. No more irritation. Gone in Jesus' name. Somebody who's not being prayed for. Really, really been anxious this week. Peace right now. Let your mind be stilled. He is in charge. Hallelujah. Okay, one last raising of hands. This time I'm just going to ask people to raise their hand if either you've been completely healed and you know it because the pain has gone, or the healing has begun because pain has lessened, or something has lessened, or you're not feeling as worried. Those two things. So something has begun in the healing. Can you raise a hand? Right, that's encouraging. We can see some hands up. All right, those of you standing around, the people now, just you can speak now. What I want you to say, complete everything that you're doing in this person's life. Hallelujah. And if you've got something that you can testify, see Peter Harvey. If you don't know who he is, Peter, you just come down here for a second because there's quite a few people with us. This is Peter. Peter will have a card for you where you can write down what's happened. It's good to give testimony of what God's done, and we can keep a record of what God's done. So if God's done something for you right now, let Peter have it. Or if God's done something great for you this week, ask Peter for a card and fill it in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for everything that's been done here this morning. We thank you for your presence. Father, we pray we go out from this building with your presence, taking the glory of God into our communities. And Father, we pray for a bold and courageous people that will declare the name of Jesus and also give to their streets and to their schools and things like that, these invitations to come and be part of the family. I rejoiced, I was glad when people said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let us go up to the place where God's family meets. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.